people who choose youth work are truly amazing individuals. These are people who care so deeply for our young people and have a real passion for service. My name is Paul Munier. I'm the executive director of YIPA, and I'll interview some of these youth workers from around the globe, and we'll figure out just what makes them tick and drives their passion. Welcome to this edition of The Passionate Youth Worker. Hi, everybody. For this episode, we're joined by Jaliza Smith Breedlove from Minnesota in the United States. Jaliza, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. I'm so eager to talk with you and learn about what drives your passion. I know you have some cool perspectives on stuff, and I'm super excited to learn about those. You are the Bright Futures Program Director at the Plymouth Christian Youth Center. What are your main roles at the center there?
Yeah, so my position, it's more of a 60-40 split. So I have 60% administration that I do. I guide strategic plans as well as evaluation, program operation, so coordinating, you know, food services, transportation, those sorts of things. And then I have kind of a 40% split where I'm able to provide more direct service, de-escalation, as well as small groups, as well as leading and managing a team of youth workers, being there for their consultation, their guidance, and things like that.
So you really do a full range of things there. You have direct service with young people, and then you have direct service with your team, all these administrative tasks. Just curious, Jaliza, do you have, of that 60-40 split, is one of those percentages your favorite, or are they equal? You like the work about the same?
Oh, I think for sure I'm a youth worker at heart, so I have more fun providing the 40%, you know, that care and that collaboration with youth and being able to spend one-on-one time as well as doing those small groups. I mean, even the activities of being able to sit down and do arts and crafts and, you know, just really hang out with the youth.
Yeah, I can tell just in the time we've gotten to know each other that you truly are a youth worker at heart, and it's I always get so excited when I meet people like that because you're just so valuable. But what is it about working with young people that just gives you that kind of energy and desire to do it so much?
Yeah, I feel like youth have such a fresh perspective. They're so carefree. And when I'm getting to spend my time with them, I feel like I become more carefree, kind of getting a little bit more freedom to kind of just be your authentic self and bring your authentic self to conversation, to activities. You know, if you trip, you fall. So what? We all get back up and we just run it off. Being able to have those conversations, asking what some people would perceive as maybe inappropriate questions of discovery. You know, I have lots of odd questions asked when I'm one-on-one or in small groups, like exploratory life skills stuff of like, why do we even need to do math? Or, you know, asking more social things, you know, about current events and them really having their own perspective in such young minds that they ask questions that maybe we as an adult wouldn't feel comfortable asking, even if we were really interested or we really didn't understand something. They kind of give that, you know, that perception up and just kind of have this free feel of, you know, asking the tough questions. And I really enjoy that because if I don't know, I feel more comfortable telling them, well, I don't know, let's Google it, you know, versus as an adult, you feel like you have to have all the answers.
Yeah, I share your enthusiasm about the conversations with young people. They're always fun. You never know where they're going to go or what to expect. And it's what makes this work interesting. It's novel. Every time that you interact with a young person, it feels a little different each time. Did you always know you wanted to be a youth worker since you're a youth worker at heart, or is that something you grew into over time?
I'll definitely say it's something I grew into over time, knowing consciously that I wanted to be a youth worker. I think I've always been a youth worker and just didn't realize it. So when I was in middle school, high school, I was having exposures to working with youth, maybe not realizing during that time I was getting some really good training on how to do so. So like when I was in high school, I would volunteer in the kindergarten room and do activities with them, and I really enjoyed it. But I'm like, what high schooler really gives up their free time during the school day when it's the free hour, right? Everyone leaves the building if they can, and I'm sitting in the kindergarten room, you know, hanging out.
Yeah, I got to believe like some of your friends said, what are you doing? Hey, come over here, you know, hang with us or something. But you spend time with kindergartners. What was it about that experience that you chose that?
Yeah, I think it is. I didn't realize then, but I think it is that freedom of, you know, when you're in high school, you have a lot of pressures on you as a youth who's still developing. You know, you've got to know what you're going to be doing the next year. You know, during that time, I was doing like a lot of college prep and, you know, still trying to socialize with friends. And there was lots of pressure, I think, from peers, from the school day, from, you know, about to transition into adulthood, where I just stumbled upon the opportunity. And I did it once or twice, and I was like, actually, I think I am going to go and hang out with the kindergartners. I don't have to think about or answer any of these tough questions that are happening in that senior year.
Got it. Yeah. So it's just a great environment for you to be in. And you said you felt a freedom, which is interesting. What can you say a little bit more about that? I've never really heard anybody say something like that before.
Yeah. When I say a freedom, I think kind of what I was alluding to is, you know, there's lots of pressures on adults to get it right or to make lots of decisions or to be the expert. And when you're working with youth, you know, everything can be inquisitive. Everything, you could just really be authentic and be yourself and not worry about necessarily how you present or making sure that you present in a way that is sustainable or other than authentic. You know, youth just want to be with someone that they can relate to, that they can have conversation with. And if we're always calculating our responses to youth, it can really hinder the relationships that we build with them, versus as an adult, our adult to adult interactions may be more calculated, or they only serve one purpose, versus youth. Those conversations can go anywhere. And when a youth decides they want to open up to you, more than likely you're going to be reciprocating that, you know, openness, that authenticness, and, you know, you're not calculating where the conversation needs to go unless there's, you know, an objective there. And then the youth aren't calculating where the conversation needs to go or what they need to get out of it. It's just, it can go anywhere.
That is such a cool perspective to think of it as freedom. And you're right, we do have such calculated conversations in the adult world, you know, social norms and politically correct things. And it's just so nice to have just candid conversations that are truly organic. And they happen so naturally with young people that it is like stepping into a different world in some sort of, you know, realm. You're out of that, you know, 40%. And I can't remember, was it 40% administration or 40% young people? But you step into that other percentage and it's just liberating. You get the chance to just truly be yourself and let it go wherever it goes. When you work with your teammates, do you talk to them about this or do you share that notion with them? Or is this just something you kind of think about on your own? Because it seems like a wonderful thing to try to convey to other people doing this work.
Yeah, I definitely would say it does come out in my training style or my consultation style with my team.
Sure.
Of reminding folks that, you know, we're working with youth and allowing them to have some voice in the conversations that you're having, but also not forcing it and being authentic, because what happens is a lot of times I notice is youth pick their person. You know, every youth has a person that they pick and they want to deepen a relationship with, and they won't always pick you, and that's okay. But it's your job to make sure that they have that person in our space, and making sure that they're using that person and, you know, using the skills to be resilient in our space, to feel safe. And if we're authentically doing that, then those relationships will just happen. And we just shouldn't force youth. You know, they have to they have to talk to so many adults per day that they maybe not want to talk to. So let's not be one more adult they feel like they have to talk to. Let's be that person who guides them to who they want to talk to, or be that person they want to talk to.
That is a cool perspective. And as youth workers, we have limited time with young people. And sometimes I think we feel the pressure to kind of force those conversations where young people feel at a place where they're safe or just in the right state of mind to disclose some things or talk about things that are of concern to them. And it's really important that youth workers don't force that because they might not be the right person for that conversation. That's really good insight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also tell youth workers, if the conversation does begin to happen because that youth chose you, but you don't feel like you're ready to guide them in that conversation, mm-hmm. you know, it's okay to let a youth know that, because that I feel like makes them even more safe to know, okay, Ms. Jaleesa is not, you know, she doesn't know how to answer my questions, but she helped me find someone who can answer my questions. You know, you don't have to be every youth's everything or be every youth's all. Youth workers, it's a network where we're all a team, regardless if we're in the same programs or not in the same programs. And so I also try to establish, you know, relationships, multidisciplinary relationships with, you know, teachers and social workers and things like that, because so many youth come into contact with so many different people that I think it's helpful.
That's really insightful. So I ask a lot of my guests what their upbringing was like, what their developmental years were like. And I'm just wondering, what was your, what's your story about your growing up years?
Yeah, I would say I had a really big network, and that's probably where I get a lot of my my theory or my processes from.
Sure.
So I was involved in after school programs, and I went to school, you know, and I had my own family that was a support system to me. So I grew up with siblings, and I grew up with my my dad's mom, so my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, who she was a really social person in our community. And so I got to watch her as I grew up, and I feel like I learned a lot of my socializing from her when it came to, you know, community care and youth care, because she would have youth come to her. You know, they might come to get flowers out of her garden, but that conversation would mold into so much more that she wasn't trying to pinpoint to make sure they were okay or make sure they told her certain things. She would just ask, you know, how was your school day? How are you? And the conversation would just evolve and, you know, turn into, you know, this kind of community care, which I think I've taken a lot from.
Yeah, your grandma sounds like a great person. I think we all could use somebody in our neighborhood that everybody turns to, right? And I don't know if a lot of communities have that anymore. I don't know. I wish they did, but we need more people like your grandma. And do you think, like, is that your mom's mom or your dad's mom?
My dad's mom.
Yeah. And is your dad like that too? Did you kind of learn some of those traits from him, or did he carry that forward and be that kind of community person too? Or was there a direct connection? Are you living more through your grandma and kind of things like that?
I think my dad had some of that too. So he would, you know, during the summers, he would go to the basketball court and he would play basketball. But,
sure.
And there was, of course, lots of young people there. So he would know folks by name and he would check on them. And he knew this kid, you know, was having troubles in school. So he'd say, well, how are your grades now? Or, you know, this kid was working on, you know, a basketball drill or something. And he would take time to check in cool. with them. So I think it's kind of been a trickle effect for sure.
That's awesome. And to think about your dad doing that, your dad was never employed probably as a youth worker, but it goes to show that so many people in our communities truly are youth workers. We just don't think of them that way. Having somebody at the basketball court and know a young person's name and ask them about how school is going is exactly what youth workers do. And I think your dad probably had an impact on people. That's really cool. So I can see where you got a lot of your instincts from that big network. And you said your mom had you engaged in a lot of programs. Why do you think she did that?
Well, my mom has this key phrase she always says. She always says, okay, no one can live this life alone. And no one has just one teacher. So I think she, you know, that being her foundation, that just prompted her to fill me and my siblings' life with more people that, you know, were an expert. So I was the first one to go to college. Well, then my mom didn't know the college route and routine, so she made sure I was in programs, and I took advantage of opportunities to be surrounded by people who went to college to answer some of those questions. Or I'm also an introvert, which surprises people, but she's an introvert too.
Yeah.
She's an introvert too. And so she wanted to make sure like I was more social. So she like put me in an improv class and like all those kinds of things where she's like, I know you need these skills that I can't necessarily teach you. So let's get you with people who can teach you those skills.
Wow. Yeah. You did have a strong upbringing and were taught really good things by your parents and your grandma. And I'm so happy for that because we need people like you doing the kind of work you're doing. Jaleesa, we do need to take a short break. So we'll be right back. And then I'd like to ask you some more questions about that idea that no one can live this life alone. So we'll be right back.
No matter how you support our young people, the Professional Youth Worker powered by YIPA has your training and learning needs covered. Visit training.yipa.org. That's training.yipa.org to see for yourself. And then join the thousands of youth workers around the globe who learn from our easy-to-access, exceptional trainings. From our blogs to our podcast, the Professional Youth Worker is your go-to resource for tools to help you keep going, keep learning, and keep growing. Members enjoy free, unlimited access to live online and on-demand trainings and a preferred discount pricing for our one-of-a-kind certificate course. Annual memberships are just $99 for individuals and only $250 for your entire organization. Visit training.yipa.org today to learn more. That's training.yipa.org.
And we're back with Jaleesa Smith Breedlove from Minnesota here in the United States. Jaleesa, right before we went to our short break, we were talking about that we all need somebody in our world. Nobody can live life alone. That wonderful phrase that your mom had. So what does that mean to you in your work, like in your desire to connect with young people? It seems like you're kind of carrying out that work, that nice message your mom had.
Yeah, I think it really helps my efforts as a team, first off, of mm-hmm. knowing that so not everyone can be everyone's everything. So yeah, really letting the folks that I share a team with or that I supervise know that there's more than you in this building. Let's use everyone, you know. No outcome or no program goal can be fulfilled by one person. So let's make sure we're all doing the work and that we're all communicating about the work that needs to be done. I also think it shows up when I say that, you know, youth will find their person. You know, mm-hmm. we know that their parents are their person. You know, we always should be giving parents the benefit of the doubt. But as a parent, you don't know everything. So you do rely on your youth or your child making really strong relationships outside of the home. And so I make it a point when I'm working with a youth or a youth is in our program that I'm communicating with the parent, if it's okay with the youth, to communicate with the parent about some of their strengths, some of their weaknesses, some of the things that, you know, they're hoping for in as we go through the program year. And just so the parent is aware, but also the parent is aware that they're a part of a team and that team is here with them in the after school setting, as well as the summer setting. I think our youth see a great amount of growth and social skills during the summers as well when they are in programs.
Yeah, I think you're right that everybody's, you know, every young person, it's their parents or their caregivers, their primary caregivers that are their main person. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean they're always the right person to have those kind of candid conversations with about growing up and the life lessons that they need. And that's where your work comes in, and you build those relationships and build that trust. And hopefully within your program, they find somebody that they can choose to do that. So I think that's really insightful. You've got such a good handle on this stuff. I'm wondering, are there things today that give you a lot of hope about your work? Are there situations or changes you feel in the air or anything like that that give you hope and inspiration about going forward and driving that passion?
Yeah, I guess my hope is driven by a quote that I kind of keep near and dear to me. Oh. Every child needs at least one adult who is irrationally crazy about him or her.
Irrationally crazy.
Irrationally crazy.
Yes, yeah.
Because I think right now in our current environment, there's a lot going on. You know, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of trauma happening. And if we as youth workers or as people working with youth can take a moment and hear a youth authentically and be irrationally upset for them if they're upset, irrationally happy for them, excited for them, celebrating them, the good and the bad, it helps, especially in this environment when we've all been isolated, we've had a lack of socialization. If we can all be irrationally crazy about one or two kids, then we've got them all covered in hope and in the future and motivation, and as well as resilience.
You know, when we were talking before and getting to know each other a little bit, you were telling me about an example with a kid in a classroom, like if they got a grade on their score, of how you have been irrationally supportive of them. Can you tell us that story? Because it's a great story.
Yeah, certainly. So we spend time helping youth, you know, with homework. And mm-hmm. I had one youth in particular, she's working on an assignment, and she has this hint of perfectionism to her. She wants to completely perfectly understand the assignment before she gets started, but it just wasn't in a space where she can do that. So yeah. She's throwing the paper, you know, she's ripping up the papers. Like, I'm not doing this. Forget this. Cause she would start and then rip up what she started. And I'm like, let's stop and we'll work on this together. Well, then we work on it together. She's happy with it. We turn it in. We get it back. We get a B. And she says, Mr. Lisa, we got a B. I take this B and I am running around screaming, we got a B. We got a B. And you could just see she was disappointed that she had the B. But I'm so excited that you got the B because you were so frustrated by the process. And so I'm showing everyone our B, and I say our B because I'm taking ownership in this with her. And the next time she, you know, does an assignment, she's going to remember some of those key words and those, the way that I made her feel in those moments of frustration. And the next time, just hopefully the next time, she gets an A and she can stop and celebrate that, you know what, I've done this before. This was hard before. And celebrating her that way will help her remember the next time.
That's a great story. And it really goes to show the power of relationships and the connection that you have and how that will carry forward for a long time. I know when I used to work directly with young people, sometimes I would find young people that didn't have anybody to choose or didn't have that connection or that trusting, caring relationship with some people. Do you ever see that and put extra effort into trying to connect with that young person? Because it used to break my heart when I would see young people who didn't feel like they were in a space where they could trust anybody to choose somebody.
Yeah, and I think I think I can simplify it for folks where it doesn't always have to be a deep-rooted relationship. So mm-hmm. I think about outside of my professional, nobody really knows I'm a youth worker, but I have some neighborhood kids. They don't know what I do for a living, but, you know, I'll see them doing something and I'll say hi or, you know, say, how are you doing? You know, just acknowledging that I see them here on the block. And so actually this past weekend, there was like a vulture situation happening in our neighborhood, like a vulture had gotten a squirrel and they were outside watching it. Mm-hmm. And of course, the youth worker in me jets out the front door and goes, what's going on? What do you guys see? And, you know, they were so shocked and surprised that an adult came outside. It was like, what's going on? Let me see. Where is it? I can't see. And asking them and allowing them to be in the leader in this conversation. And they were laughing at me so hard because they don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. But now they have seen me, I've seen them. And if something were to happen, they know at least there's one person on this block that would possibly stop their day to say something. I think that just that small thing just gives them security, maybe in your neighborhood or on your block, that there's folks out there that care.
That's so true. And it goes back to the story we were talking about with your dad on the basketball court, right? You know, everybody is a youth worker at heart. I mean, if we live in a community, it's, I think, up to all of us to give that trusting environment to our young people so they feel safe and feel connected. I think that's so important. Mm-hmm. Jaliza, are there things right now in the field of youth work that really concern you or kind of give you moments to pause and wonder like, gosh, this isn't good?
Yeah, I think I'm probably thinking the same thing as a lot of youth workers and thinking about the learning loss that's happening during COVID, as well as the socialization loss. I think for me, it's more about the social emotional learning loss that our youth have experienced, the stress they're experiencing, that has caused me pause and makes me wonder, like, I don't have a solution. I think we're all still trying to figure out solutions, but, you know, I'm having pause to think about what can we do maybe this summer that really can give us all a good boost, or give all youth a good boost to maybe come out of, you know, the pandemic.
Yeah, those vaccines can't come fast enough, right? We know disproportionately our young people, and especially young people who have inequitable opportunities are disproportionately harmed the most by all of this. And we need to figure out how to reconnect with them. That is alarming. And are you seeing a lot of that? I mean, is it apparent to you that young people are feeling a little bit more angst or a little more uncomfortable than what you're used to seeing? Or is it just you know it's there?
I more so know it's there, but I have encountered some youth that, you know, they were previously in our program and haven't quite came back yet. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of questions about, like, what's next? You know, how are we going to get back to program? How are we going to get back to school? Like, what's it going to look like? Are we going to be able to do anything anymore? They have lots of questions.
Yeah. You know, you're a social worker and a youth worker, and you make that clear that you see those two things differently. And I find that very fascinating. Can you describe why you call yourself? You have like two titles and two different things you do. I think that's people would be interested to learn about that.
Yeah. So I do keep them separate to myself, where one informs the other. So as a social worker, I identify as a macro social worker. So I'm focused on systems and programs and developing those to enhance and to increase the well-being of people. And for that, that can be so broad. That's all demographics and all people. And as a youth worker, I feel like that better aligns me to have the skills that you need to work with youth, as well as the foundation to understand how youth work and how youth voice shows up and can show up, that when I put them together, it puts me in the space that I'm currently in. And also being a youth worker, you're choosing to be highly intentional of creating spaces and engaging with youth. You know, you're saying, I want to make an impact with youth specifically. Yeah. And in social work, you know, you're saying everyone, you know.
Yeah. It's the difference too, I think, you've described pretty clearly, that I think, I'm just reading between the lines here, is that your social work role is pretty, I don't want to say prescribed, because anything in the human services industry is not prescribed, but you kind of know the steps to go through. And when you have your youth worker hat on, it's kind of free for all. Whatever those young people, wherever they want to take you that day, that's where you go. And I could see why you keep them separate. Do anybody else you know do that, or is this uniquely Jaleesa?
I have a mentor that I believe she keeps them separate as well, where she tells folks, yes, I'm a social worker, but I'm focused on youth development. So I'm focused on eradicating the barriers for youth to be great. And so, I think it might, I don't know if it's unique to us or not. I would love to know and meet more people that kind of think like me.
Yeah.
But social work, yes, I feel like it can be very, prescribed of like, well, you have a need for a resource, I get you that resource, or I get you to someone who can get you that resource. Versus when I'm a youth worker, I get to be down on the ground and, can choose to take that hat on and off of, I just want to be with the youth versus always trying to provide services or only focus on that service piece.
Yeah. We're running low on time, and it's been just fascinating to hear your perspective on things. But before we go, what words of inspiration or wisdom would you like to share with our listeners?
Yeah. I guess I'll repeat the words of my mom and the other quote that I like, that no one can live this life alone. Mm-hmm. So as youth workers, I want to charge all of us to be irrationally crazy about every child, because they need at least one person to do it. And we're in such a great place to be able to do that, especially in the times of the times we're in now of a pandemic, that, youth, I think, are missing us as much as we're missing them.
Yeah. Irrationally crazy. I love that. And I got to envision a world where every young person had just the biggest fan in their life, right? Cheering for them, no matter what their accomplishments were, but just encouraging them to go on and develop what they're good at. And everybody's got that inherent skill. And we all need a cheerleader pushing us in that right direction to help us develop that. So, Jaleesa, thank you for being a guest. And thank you for all the work you do for the young people in your community at the Plymouth Christian Youth Center. It is so great to have you on board as a youth worker and doing this great work. So thank you for being a guest on the podcast.
No, again, thanks for having me. And allow me to be a part of this. I think this podcast is so great for youth workers to remind us that we're professionals in a discipline that some people don't realize. We're professionals. We have lots of skills. We have challenges, and we have some really great movements that come from us.
Totally agree. And for all those professional youth workers out there listening, thank you for the work you do. We know it's tough work, but we also know it's very rewarding. And you get to bring your best self to your work every day and have the freedom to allow the young people to take you where you need to go that day. And that's a wonderful gift that you don't get in a lot of different occupations. So thank you for the work that you do. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to it wherever you found us. And if you have feedback for us, whether it's positive or negative, please let us know. You can just email me at paul@yipa.org. That's paul@yipa.org. And let me know what you think about the podcast. We're always trying to make it better for you. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Passionate Youth Worker. I'm your host, Paul Munier. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to share your passion for youth work, we'd love to spotlight you as a guest. Just visit us at training.yipa.org. That's training.yipa.org. And click on the podcast tab. This podcast is made possible in part due to the generous contribution from M Health Fairview. I'm your host, Paul Munier. Thanks for listening to The Passionate Youth Worker.